And tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Adrian T. from Poway. Welcome.
I'm Adrian. I'm an alcoholic. And so are you. I know I saw you all raise your hands a little earlier. My sobriety date is October 6, 2011, so I'm relatively new to this program. I came in with what they call a high bottom. I didn't have a DUI, I didn't have a job loss, I didn't have a family intervention, but I did have a drinking problem. But because I didn't have any of the foregoing, it took me a little while to recognize that I had a drinking problem. And when it really hit me was when I started blackout drinking, which took me to, I didn't first blackout drink until I was 47 years old. I, like a lot of you, the last few years have held a lot of insecurity for me. I lost a couple of jobs, and I ended up taking a job with someone who was very abusive and unstable. And with the economy and the ecology of the world being the same way, I took a very live-for-today attitude. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we are to die. I was not a closet drinker. I was a social drinker. So I was, I lived in an area where the almost this one entire neighborhood filtered down to a bar that you could walk to drink and stumble home from later, not have to worry about getting a DUI. The bartenders were very heavy-handed and the drinks were cheap. And I had come from a background where I drank, and there were a few times in my life when I remembered I drank quite a bit, and the next day I was reminded of things that I had done, and I was very embarrassed to be reminded of those things that I had done. But this was the first time I experienced people telling me things I had done and had no recollection of, and it was very disconcerting for me. I also have always been worked in a professional, semi-professional capacity as an executive assistant, and I had never reported to work drunk before. So that was a first for me as well. And when those things started happening, I started realizing, you know, I need to really take a good hard look at this. At the time, I was seeing a psychiatrist to help deal with the stress in my life and my work. And I told her at one of our sessions, I think I have a problem. I think maybe I need to go to AA. And she said, okay, you know, if you think that's a good idea. That was on a Thursday. That weekend, I didn't drink. I stayed close to home. The following week, I went to the bar with a couple of friends. I had two drinks, and I looked around, and I thought, I don't belong here, and I went home. So the next time I saw my psychiatrist, she asked me, you know, what's up with the AA idea? And I said, oh, I think maybe that was a little extreme. You know, I didn't drink this weekend. I went to the bar, and that was on a Thursday. Friday night, I went to the bar, I had a couple drinks, and I looked around, and I thought, I don't belong here. So I drank until I did. I drank until I was falling off my stool like everyone else, and I was telling you something for the third time in a row, way too loud. And I stayed drunk, you know, Friday, Saturday. I'm sure I did Sunday, Funday. That was my pattern. Monday, I went to work very hungover. Tuesday, I got online. I found an AA meeting, and I went to the Lutheran Church in Peñasquitos. And I walked in, and I did what most of us newcomers do. We think we're going to hide in the back, which is where all the newcomers are. So I walked, and I sat in the very back, and this older gentleman came over to me, and he asked me if this was my first time at this meeting. And I said, actually, this is my first time at an AA meeting. And he just got very flustered, and he ran off, and I was like, oh, my God, did I say something wrong? So he came back with this little petite blonde, who is my super sponsor now. And she told me, you know, don't run off after the meeting. Stick around. I want to talk to you. So I sat and I listened, and I realized immediately that was where I needed to be. I've heard a lot of people in these rooms say, I didn't come to AA to make friends. I did. The ones I had were broken. They weren't working. I needed new friends. And I knew that I didn't want to white-knuckle it. I didn't want to sit alone and try to get through this. I wanted to be in a group of people who had the same objective that I did. So I bought a book that night. I bought the 12-step, the 12 big book and the 12 and 12. And I dove in. I was like, tell me what to do and I'll do it. I started reading the book immediately. And I came back the next week and I asked my friend Julie, you know, I started reading this book. At what point do you know you're supposed to get a sponsor? And her sponsor heard me talking to her and said, do you need a sponsor? You have a sponsor. So she became my sponsor immediately. And one of the things, I didn't just get a sponsor, I used my sponsor. I spoke with her very regularly. She told me about the Poway Alano Club, and I started going there regularly. As I mentioned, I'm a social drinker. I needed to be someplace social, and the Poway Alano Club has its own social director, Tony, who's here tonight. And that was perfect for me, because I immediately started going after, you know, the meeting after the meeting, going out for karaoke and things like that, and I really needed to do that. I think when I took my year token just a few months ago, one of the things I said was I wasn't really that surprised to find myself there, because pretty quickly after just a few months, my intent was to get to at least a year sober. I didn't know about doing this thing for my whole life, but I wanted to be sober for a year. And I believe in living your life with intention. I believe your life is not a piece of paper on the wind. Time and unforeseen occurrence can fall us all, but you, to some extent, you can direct it. And when I took my token, I was talking about an article that I had read. And it gave the example of two men that are about to take a long road trip. And one of them gets his map and his highlighter, and he highlights every turn and every highway and where he's going to stop for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And the other man has very fixed in his mind his destination and where he wants to be. But he's thinking of, you know, contingencies, like if there's a road closure, or maybe I'll call Bill when I'm in this area to have lunch. The first man has a plan, and the second man has a purpose. And things didn't go according to plan for me during my first year. I was told by my company on a Friday that as of the following Monday, my hours were cut by 50%, so my income was cut by 50%. I had to scramble and move from where I was getting sober in Poway to Oceanside. But because I knew my purpose, I was able to continue on that route. And so far, it's worked out, I would say, pretty good. The things that I can recommend to people that are new in the program is get your wolf pack. You're not a wolf pack of one anymore. And I have a couple of my friends here that immediately, when I started coming to the meetings, I would go on Monday night to Poway Alano Club, to my home group on Tuesday, Poway Alano Club on Friday, and then Saturday for the first four to 6 months, I would go to a women's group meeting in the morning, a noon meeting, out to lunch, and then come back for a speaker meeting. I was looking for my saturation point. And in between, I found people who were at the same pace that I was, who wanted to dive in and really wanted this, who were in it to win it. And that is very helpful when you surround yourself with people that are at your same pace. Really, I think I'm almost done. There is one thing that I did bring that I wanted to share. I'm sure a lot of you have heard Steven Tyler is famous for his bouts of sobriety. And there's a song that he wrote, and I was reading the lyrics of it the other day, and I'm just sure that he wrote it when he was early in sobriety. You guys will probably recognize it. I'm not going to sing it because then I'll have to give you hazard pay. So I'm just gonna recite it. It says, I kept the right ones out and let the wrong ones in. Had an angel of mercy to see me through all my sins. There were times in my life when I was going insane, trying to walk through the pain. When I lost my grip and I hit the floor, yeah, I thought I could leave but couldn't get out the door. I was so sick and tired of living a lie, I was wishing that I would die. It's amazing, with the blink of an eye, you finally see the light. It's amazing, when the moment arrives, you know you'll be all right. It's amazing, and I'm saying a prayer for the desperate hearts tonight. Thank you very much for letting me share.